I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
92.9 Podcasts powered by Action 24/7. Tennessee's only local legal sports book. Bet now at Action247.com.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. I ain't writing nothing. I ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say.
Happy Monday. It's going to be fun. It is always fun after something like that, after a win like that. I wrote a column. I wrote two columns about that game Saturday, and I may write a third and a fourth and a fifth if the spirit moves me. But in the second column, the one I wrote yesterday, I pointed out that, like, the day of a big win is fantastic. You're euphoric, maybe hoarse, walking on sunshine. But then the wonderful thing about it is the feeling of happiness just stays with you. Like, I your team has won a Super Bowl, Jeffrey, so I don't know how long that lasts. Two, thank you very much. And it's possible, as I pointed out in today's column, that Alabama fans live in a perpetual state of happiness. That may be. But what happens is that all week, Memphis, you're just lifted up. You know, there's a lightness about everything you do. The traffic doesn't seem quite as trafficy. The potholes don't seem quite as deep. The lines at the grocery store just move a little faster. Your husband looks a little more handsome. Mm-hmm. Your wife, a little more beautiful. Your kids, a little more cooperative. Everything just feels a little better. It's just a sporting event, but isn't it amazing the impact that it can have on a mood?
In particular, football, too, because there's the whole, you get a full week to enjoy it, you know what I mean? Like, and then...
Oh, you're exactly right. So how long does this feeling last? And Memphis plays Texas San Antonio Saturday.
Yep.
And if they lose that game, right, But so you get all this week of feeling this lightness that I describe. But then the truth of the matter is that you will forever enjoy that day. Like, you can look back to the Memphis and go into the New Orleans Bowl, and I can remember exactly what that felt like walking around New Orleans and seeing all the Memphis fans there. You can look back to game day and that entire day, and you get enjoyment out of that. You can look back to the win over Ole Miss with Paxton and when Kim Dichie went out with the concussion.
2015.
I'm not celebrating his concussion at all. But yeah, that was 2015. So here we are, 6 years ago. Like, you can still summon up those moments and feel happiness.
For sure.
And in the same way, your Giants, they're not particularly good now, are they?
They are not.
Not particularly good now.
No.
But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Can you still see Eli throwing that ball down the field and the helmet catch?
I can still see the helmet catch. I can still see the Manningham throw 4 years later.
The Manningham throw, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this summer I've watched both games start to finish again.
Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
God.
It's the best.
That would be.
It's awesome.
For
they
my
still
Bills
won.
Bills to win a Super Bowl.
They still
and then
won.
To have it on demand anytime you want to. Oh, my God. Now I have a new dream in life.
And no one can take it away.
And no one can take it away. And so that will always be there. And I do want to, before we say anything, I do anything else, I want to say a word to our Mississippi State friends. We have some listeners who are devout Mississippi State fans. And nothing I say today is meant to offend. The truth of the matter is, it's hard to generalize fan bases, right? Like, it's every Ole Miss fan.
That sounds like a challenge.
Isn't every Ole Miss fan isn't wear khakis and have mop hair and mm-hmm. wear a tie and a jacket mm-hmm. to a game and you know every whatever we go right down the line, but if I'm to generalize, I like Mississippi State fans, and I pull for Mississippi State because it's an underdog place.
Sure.
The same way, honestly, I usually pull for Ole Miss because it's an underdog place.
I mean, the truth is, other than about four schools in the SEC,
yeah, they're all underdog places. So I bet Vanderbilt, same thing. So I have been on the other side of that agony. You may recall the home run throwback. Or as I call it, home run forward pass. The Tennessee kick return, the illegal Tennessee Titans kick return that defeated my beloved Buffalo Bills.
Gotcha. The Music City Miracle.
Music City Miracle.
Got it.
I think the technical play name of the play was the home run throwback.
It was the illegal forward pass.
You don't remember this, but Brett Hall's skate was in the freaking crease.
Definitely don't remember that, but I'm taking
it
your word for it.
It was in the crease. In the Stanley Cup playoffs, finals. So I have been on the other side of this. I know what it feels like to lose. I honestly don't think the Music City Miracle was illegal. It was just painful.
I mean, they ended up reviewing it.
They did review it. I don't think it was illegal. The Brett Hull one was illegal. Hey, we have all been on the other side of this. We all feel your pain. Okay? For Memphis, it was just glorious. From Memphis, it was glorious. It was, and I don't know how you rank it. I don't know how you rank it alongside the other ones, the UCLA win and the Ole Miss win and the other Ole Miss win and the BYU win and the Cotton Bowl trip, which wasn't a win, and the UCF win. And, like, how do you rank it up against all of those?
And since beating Cincinnati to win the league.
Beating Cincinnati to win the league.
In back-to-back weeks.
In back-to-back weeks. There's been a lot of good ones lately. But in terms of sheer craziness, this is top of the heap. Like, I let me set the show, by the way. Today, we're going to be a little bit of a different Monday because of the events of the weekend. We're going to do the fight song roundup, but we're going to do it straight up at 10 o'clock. We don't have Chris Harrington today, and so we're going to do the fight song roundup where we will honor those college football teams that deserve to be honored and a blow-up one that does not. We'll do that in the Chris Harrington segment. Chris will rejoin the show tomorrow. So we are going to talk about Saturday's game now, and then we're going to ask you to have your thoughts on the game. If you were there, if you happened to watch it on TV, whichever side of this you're on, we'll talk to you in the next segment. Then we'll do the fight song roundup. And then there was a lot of NFL stuff. The wild weekend, another fantastic weekend in the NFL with your beloved Tennessee Titans. I doubted them. I was driving along in Florida last week listening to Petty's picks. John Martin picked the Titans. And I'm like, what are you thinking? What was the spread? Six?
I think it closed at 6.5.
What are you thinking? They're going to get blasted. And they did not. They did not. Dramatic win by the Titans. What was amazing to me watching the NFL unfold is how many teams, like, it feels like everybody's 1-1. It just feels like everybody,
including the Chiefs,
is 1-1, including the Chiefs. That's the thing. Whoever won last, you know, like, so Saints got an impressive win last week. They lose. Chiefs get it, you know, we expect them to freaking go undefeated. They lose. The Steelers beat my beloved Bills. They lose. The Seahawks won their first game. They lose. The Bengals, they won their first game. They lose. The Eagles, they won their first game. Like, I get right down the line. To even the freaking Texans. Now, we expected the Texans to lose last time. The truth of the matter is you got 17 teams heading into Monday night that are 1-1. Like, everybody's 1-1.
I mean, as everyone expected, the Panthers on Thursday have the first opportunity to
go 3-0.
Yeah.
Your 3-0 team, your 2-0 teams right now, ladies and gentlemen, are the Raiders, the Broncos, the Cardinals, the Panthers, the 49ers, and the Rams, and the Bucks. The only one of those you would think, like, if teams, you know, who are the really sterling teams in that group, the elite teams in that group, and it's the Rams, I think people thought,
yeah.
Quietly, what? People thought they were going
to
be awesome.
There are lots of people that predicted them
and
to
the
win
Super
the
Bowl.
Yeah.
And the Bucks.
Yes.
Right? Those two. But the Raiders, Broncos, 49ers, Cards, and Panthers, nobody's definition of elite.
Maybe the Niners.
Maybe, but the quarterback thing, you're like, they're not the same level elite, right?
Yes.
They're just not. And those are your undefeated teams. Congratulations to John Martin for his stupid Raiders. Anyway, so we'll talk about that in the second hour. So we're going to talk now, then we're going to take your calls in the next segment, then we're going to do the fight song roundup, and then we'll talk a little bit about the NFL. But, if you're going to rank it, where would you rank it, Jeffrey? Not in terms of importance, in terms of euphoria, just in terms of the experience of the day. It wasn't as good as game day, but that's because of the game day part. Right?
Right. There's a whole different element here, though, of it's the first time back, like, with everyone. It's the first big game back with everyone. It was a memorable game itself, like the way that it played out. It had excitement.
It had this incredible play, which we will get to in a minute. I would still put it, listen, the game day thing I put in a different category. Because if that was just the SMU game, you wouldn't have put it up there. If you lump the whole day together, I'll put game day SMU ahead of this.
I agree. I just think that whole season itself is a completely different thing.
I will also put the Ole Miss game, Paxton Lynch, Kim Dichie, that one, ahead of this. They beat a ranked Ole Miss team, and they were a team that was expecting to be elite that year. It was a 100% full stadium. I'm going to put that one ahead of this.
This game reminded me of.
Are you disagreeing with that ranking?
No, I think in the end that one's higher because that team was at least like there is this element of what is Mississippi State.
Oh, there's that. That's
and
true
so
too.
At that point in time, like Ole Miss, I think had still lost to Florida at that point, but at that time they still were
an elite team. Yes,
right. I mean, they were if they went out, they were still going to the playoff. Like everything.
In fact, didn't they do well that year? Didn't they rebound from that and have a pretty damn good year?
They end up losing to Arkansas. That's the fourth and 25, and then they went 9-3 regular season, and they went to the
It's a good Ole Miss team.
The Sugar Bowl. That was the Sugar Bowl team.
Very good Ole Miss team.
Yeah,
beat a very good Ole Miss team. I'll put that one ahead of this, but I'll put this one ahead of UCLA. I'll put this one ahead of the other Ole Miss win in, like, Brady's first year. I think there was another Ole Miss win. Wasn't there another Ole Miss win in there?
Yeah, so to me, this game compared the most to the 2003 Ole Miss win, where the D'Angelo, Wimpride.
Eli, that one?
Yes, where Eli comes in. Ole Miss kind of had
the
game.
At the Liberty Bowl?
Game was at the Liberty Bowl.
I missed that game. I was at a family reunion, like a once every 100-year family reunion.
Yeah, so it was like a week two game. Ole Miss comes in. They're not ranked at the time, but it's Eli's fifth year, and they think that this is their chance. And Ole Miss is kind of – it was a similar game in that Ole Miss was in control. Then Tay Biddle drops a touchdown pass that probably would have put the game away. Ole Miss ends up, like, punting. They have the Tigers get, like, the 90-something yard throwback play, and then all of a sudden – here comes momentum, and here, you know what I mean? And it just kept rolling and rolling and rolling and rolling. And next thing you know, Ole Miss looks up, and they've got no chance.
Well, there is no question that in this game, Mississippi State was in total control. And when Seth Hennigan threw that pick on fourth down, and Mississippi State had it at the 14, already up two scores.
Yep.
And then got it first and goal at the 4, first and goal at the 3. They then had it first and goal from the 3.
Yeah.
And they came away with 0 points.
Yep.
There was a minus 4, then plus 5, then 2 incompletions, including on the 4th incompletion, a bad snap.
Yep.
Let's be clear. I thought the game was over. And one of the things that I think Memphis has to get incredible credit for is not quitting. Like, it is human nature to be deflated in that moment. You've been fighting. You're pumped up. Everything else. Your quarterback throws his first pick of his career. They got it at the 14. Then they got a first and goal. The game is over.
Well, let's go back to Seth Hennigan making the tackle.
Seth Hennigan making the tackle. He didn't quit.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Seth Hennigan
makes the tackle. If he doesn't make the tackle, it's a touchdown. Yeah.
Game-saving tackle by Seth Hennigan. So it is not, like, people, resilience is such a cliche word, but it is absolutely true that in those moments that are incredibly deflating, because I felt it in the press box, you have to feel it on the sidelines. To bow up and get that stop is unbelievable. You can also say that for Mike Leach to go for it at that point was stupid.
I still kind of thought it was the
right call.
Yeah. I thought at that point, if you can, at that
and
point.
And even if you don't get it, they're pinned at the 2.
They're pinned at the 2. And then on top of that, like, that was a chance to, like, really knock them out.
Foot on the neck.
Correct. Because at the time, they were up 10. And so I don't think there's a big difference between being up 10 and being up 13, but there is a big difference between being up 13 and being up 17.
So then Memphis drives 98 flipping yards for a touchdown, which is just, like, unbelievable that they had done that. All of a sudden, an offense which had 98 yards in the entire game up to that point, 98 yards for a touchdown, and the game is on. Memphis takes the lead. And then, of course, we have the play that this game will forever be remembered for. Let's hear it from both the Memphis broadcast, and then we'll pause for a bit, and then we'll hear it from the Mississippi State side of things. How long did it take them to know that what the hell was happening? How long did it take us to know what the hell was happening? First, let's listen to Dave Aloshin, Jarvis, and the crew.
Here's the snap. They are kicking it.
Wolves,
this one is a beauty. High.
Let it go.
It will come down near the 3-yard line, and it was deflected there by State. Wow. What a good job. And it's picked up by the Tigers.
Oh, my goodness.
It is picked up by a Tiger and returned.
Calvin.
40. It's Calvin. 50. Down the right side.
Calvin.
40. 30.
Calvin.
20. 10. Touchdown. They didn't down it.
Calvin. 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 Calvin.
You know, Jarvis, let it go.
Calvin, what?
Yeah, Jarvis, go, let it go. I mean, that's what most people would say at that point. Like, you know, they got you surrounded, let it go.
I love the Calvin. Calvin, 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 Calvin. Good call. It reminded me of someone, Elliot Perry's jock calls,
ooh,
right? Like, oh, 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 oh. Are you looking for this at this very
moment?
Tucker out for Rivers. Rivers falls down. He turfed his ankle. Morant into the front court.
Oh.
Behind the back dribble. Drops for Jackson.
Oh!
middle. A left-handed hammer on Ja Morant's dribble move, and the fans erupt. Look out, Sports Center. Here it comes.
Calvin. Anyway, that was great. And let's hear from our friends from Starkville.
Went some field position. Trafford gets it away. This is a good one. High spiral. Austin. We'll see this one bounce inside the five where Tulu Griffin had raced downfield to get a hand on it. Ball was spotted. State didn't doubt it. Now Austin's picked it up for Memphis. Running up the right sideline. 40, 50. He is into the open field. 30, 20, 10. It is a touchdown.
Crowd sounds great.
What a play. I mean, Tulu Griffin batted the ball at the two-yard line. It went back up to the seven, and there's players around it, but nobody for State actually possessed the football or downed it, but it was touched, so it should be down where it's touched.
Touching, doesn't that have to be?
I mean, it can't be illegal touching.
Illegal touching would infer that someone went out of bounds and came back in. Well, it's a Memphis touchdown, and it's a 10-point game with 5:36 left as the Tigers have grabbed all the momentum here in the second half, certainly in the fourth quarter. And here's Doyle trying to make it 11. Snap is back, hold is down, the kick is away. And this one is good. We'll bring Jay Perry in from the sideline. Jay, can you give us some clarity on that rule on illegal touching? Because I thought Tulu Griffin was not in the end zone. It looked like he was inside the five, somewhere around maybe the three. And I'm like, Matt, he batted that ball down.
Yeah, I think it's the batting of the ball backwards is the illegal touching okay. Right there. And look, no one was there. So now, here's what's interesting. I'm not sure that they didn't have 12 men on the field at that snap. I was trying to count. Couldn't tell. Looked like there might have been 12 men on the field. But nonetheless, it wasn't called. And so here you are now. You're in a world of trouble.
Whew. All right. So let's say what we can definitively say about that play.
All right.
First of all, it was hell of a smart play by Calvin Austin.
100%.
Incredibly smart play by Calvin Austin. And the idea that he, as he later told us, that he had talked about this with his father watching football games and knew that in this situation, we'll get to whether it was blown dead or not.
Sure.
You can pick it up and there's no risk.
This is one of those plays that in high school practice, when you do your special teams thing in fall camp, your coaches always remind you, if they touch it, it's free. Even if you try to pick it up and lose it, we get it where they touched it. Like that, they tell you that. It's like that. And then if you call fair catch on a punt at like the end of the half, if you fair catch it, you can get a free kick for 3 points. Like that's one of those
now,
rules.
Is there ever any, like, what's the.
The difference is you never see this returned. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
I even saw it happen. I couldn't remember if it was in the NFL or I saw it last week where someone did the same thing where it was already touched by the punting team and someone tried to pick it up. It went nowhere because when he tried to pick it up, everyone around him just.
Isn't that the time between when it is touched and when it is blown dead normally so quick that there's not much room to pick it up?
Correct. Because typically, once the ball, even if someone doesn't pick it up, once the ball comes to rest, usually officials blow it dead. Because at that point, you can tell teams are trying. In this situation, it wouldn't apply.
The thing to do in that situation.
Pick it up.
In fairness, Mike Leach said this afterwards.
Yeah.
Pick the damn ball up. Like, pick it up and give it to the official. Like, that's what you do.
Yes.
Is you pick it up and give it to the official. And they didn't do that. And in that way, they brought it on themselves.
Correct. I do think the guy thought, I'm going down to a knee and I'm touching it down with a knee. Now, that's the same thing as handing it to the official, but the difference is you allow for this to happen. If you pick it up and hand it to the official,
no
Calvin
question,
cannot pick it up.
There is no question in my mind in terms of the, let's take the Mississippi State side of this,
sure,
that the official was in the process of blowing the ball dead.
Yes.
We don't know if he, quote unquote, blew the whistle.
Correct.
But he was giving a hand signal,
correct,
to the blow. He was sort of like, he was sort of like that person who, and you, I think it was you who said this, yeah, later, who in class, they think they know the answer, but then when their hand goes halfway up,
yeah,
they go, like, they jerk it back down real quick.
Or like it's like when you might be holding somebody in the,
right,
block, and then,
yeah,
you kind of put your hands at the side, like, no, no, no,
yeah,
totally,
yeah, I didn't touch it.
Yeah.
Or you like, play soccer.
Yeah,
you play,
exactly,
soccer.
Yeah,
you reach,
yeah,
your hand out.
Yeah, exactly.
But he was, and you can absolutely understand why the Mississippi State players would have thought it was one dead.
In fairness, they're looking, the guy, like the four guys that probably were the only ones that probably could have made the play, they were looking at him, and they saw him
start to throw, right, a bag and whatever.
He threw the beanbag and then crossed his hands up top, and he's like, never mind.
And all of a sudden, boom. It reminded me of like a seagull flying in and taking your sandwich,
yep,
from a picnic, right?
Love
like
it.
Like it was like, what the hell just happened to my,
exactly,
PB&J? And there goes the seagull, and the seagull happened to be Calvin Austin, and he was sprinting down the sidelines and scored the touchdown. Did Mississippi State get screwed? Of course they did. Yes, absolutely. I think properly, given the fact that the official was in the course of signaling, that ball should have come back. It should have been reviewed, and it should have come back. Plus, by the way, they did have two number fours on the field simultaneously.
Correct.
Which is also a penalty. Does that mean that Memphis should apologize for the win or should not celebrate the win? Or the win should be, is in any way tainted? Of course not.
Absolutely
not. It doesn't
not.
Mean that at all. Memphis was winning at the time. They were already winning. They weren't handed a go-ahead touchdown. They were winning at the time. They had just driven 98 yards. Who the hell knows? In the alternate reality that would have unfolded had they actually possessed the ball at that point, we got no idea what would have happened, but they were winning, and they could very well have won. And so had the game been stopped right there, they would have won. Beyond that, there are a million calls in every game that are, could go either way. And you always get upset about them when they go against your team, particularly in critical situations. And Memphis can look back at the Joey Magnifico non-catch. They can look back as far as the Corey Beck, a hand check foul.
Yeah.
They can look back to Keith Lee getting beat up against Villanova. They can look. There are any number of. They can look back to the two UCF F games. The hold that was called when Daryl Henderson ran for a touchdown that would have salted away beating UCF here.
Sure.
There are crappy calls, and there's no question that I think that Mississippi State got screwed. Doesn't mean they would have won, and certainly doesn't mean that Memphis should apologize for it.
I'm with you 100%.
And does mean that crew sucks.
Oh, I told you this.
That crew is just terrible.
I told you this after the game. The head official is Mark Curls. To my knowledge, Mark Curls is the only SEC official who has ever been publicly suspended and still officiating.
Right.
I mean, this is par for the course. Like, whenever he calls a game, chaos ensues.
Well, it is what's unusual. And again, like Mississippi State has now tweeted about this and the SEC has tweeted about this. My advice, if you're a Memphis fan, is revel in those tweets. Understand that those tweets, just those are tears that you can absolutely,
yeah,
enjoy.
Well, I had the
it means it's killing them. And for in terms of Mississippi State, like, win the damn game. You have every chance to win the damn game.
100%.
And so, you know, get out of here with your tweet. The SEC, what's interesting is it was tweeted out by something called SEC officiating. They had not tweeted out a comment on a particular play since last October.
Correct. And I found myself wondering when I saw the response, I thought to myself, I wonder if Mississippi State were playing Auburn and that same play happens. Because I think we can agree Auburn would be the most fitting team to have a play like this.
Right.
Agreed. I wonder if they would have done
Well, the last time they did tweet about a specific play,
yep,
It was about Lane Kiffin last year when he criticized the officiating in, I don't know which game it was. It was an October game.
I believe it was, you ready for this?
Auburn?
I believe it was the Auburn game, and I believe, I'm nearly certain this is true, Mark Curls was yet again. It was the play where, it was the kickoff where the Auburn guy, it's like kind of a short, like, it's like a shortish line drive kick. The kid comes up and tries to catch it. It takes a weird hop. It hits his hand, goes into the end zone, and Ole Miss recovers it. And so it would have been a touchdown, and same situation. No review. They just called it a touchback, and then Auburn went on to score.
I see. Yeah, that's the last time. So it's not like they routinely issue corrections on their Twitter account. They hadn't done it since last October. And then the other thing is that we focus on that play because it's, like, tremendous. And it was just great fun.
I said this in real time.
The whole country was talking about it.
We were doing the live show, and I was just like, this is – why college football is amazing.
It's just these
moments where you're like, you don't see this in the NFL. Like, this game, for all those things to happen, you don't see that. This is why college football is just, what a sport.
And by the way, if you focus exclusively on this, and if you focus on Mississippi State's misery, you miss the fact that, among other heroes for Memphis, and I do mean that, you had Sanchez Blake with a scoop and score. Had they not done that, they would have been blown out in the first half, right? Like, that's what kept it close at all. You had a Doyle with a 51-yard field goal. A 51-yard field goal from a punter. He was brought here exclusively to punt. When he was at Tennessee, never kicked a field goal. Never kicked a field goal. And he nails a 51-yarder. The truth of the matter is, the defense, after that Seth Hennigan pick, stopped him on the goal line stand, and then the next four drives forced Mississippi State, which had been doing anything it wanted on offense, to punt. Punt, punt. So it was turnover on downs, then punt, 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 punt. You could argue that's where the game was won right there. And then after Mississippi State does get the touchdown late to put him in position to tie, you got Memphis rising up again and stopping the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
Like, there were a lot of heroes in that game.
Well, I mean, even think back to the possession before, you know, you State did convert the 2-point, and then they had the penalty.
Right. Well, how about the play calling on the touchdown before the touchdown pass to Austin, where he had the direct snap? Like, I was not always impressed with the play calling throughout the entire game, but my God, those two consecutive plays, the direct snap to Brandon Thomas and then the screen back to wide receiver screen back to Calvin Austin, like, that was just catching them with their pants down. That was unbelievable play calling.
No, I thought this was a – I would not have kicked the 51-yarder. I would have just gone for it.
Right.
Because I thought the only way – I'm yelling in real time on the show, go for it.
Right.
Like, at this point, like, I've already conceded Mississippi State's, I'm not winning the bet, so I don't care. I'm saying go for it, because that was the only way that you were going to guarantee they never got the ball back, and you could tell everyone was reeling on their heels. Now, credit to Doyle for, I mean, drilling it. I mean, holy cow, what a
still
kick.
Still barely cleared. I mean, it was 51 yards.
Sure.
I had no faith he was going to kick that, but, and in fact.
Well, and the irony is, like, during the first half, it felt like they were
afraid to kick. They were going for it because it felt like they were afraid of their kicker. Anyway, a hell of a game. We're going to take your calls coming up next. The phone number is 535-3776. Where does this one rank? Your thoughts, were you there? 535-3776 is the phone number. We'll take your calls next. I do want to tell you, FanDuel is back. The NFL is back. And right now, you can get 30-1 odds on either team to win next Monday night. That's Philly-Dallas, right? Next Monday night, I believe, is Philly-Dallas. If you are a new user, sign up for either one. Actually, it's a $1,000 back in site credit. Free. It's a free throw next Monday night. Philadelphia and Dallas. Also, they got the same game parlay bet, three legs or more. If your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. And that is every single week for every single user, every single week for every single user. It's an unbelievable deal. All you got to do is download FanDuel Sportsbook and sign up with promo code Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is now the trouble. Site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. All right, we'll take your calls coming up next on Memphis and Mississippi States. Jeff Calkins Show on a pretty glorious Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
A lot of weddings these days. People are catching up. They're catching up with their weddings. And so now would be the time to get into O'Call. Got a lot of deals on men's tailored clothing. Special savings on suits, sport coats. I have two just gorgeous sport coats from there. Best sport coats I've ever owned. Fit me beautifully. I feel like a new man. And it's time for you to get out there. You haven't probably bought nice clothes in 2 years. So go get yourself a sport coat. Start out fresh. Fall is here. Get in and see our friends at O'Call. Phone number is 535-3776, 535-3776. There was a big game Saturday at the Liberty Bowl. Were you there? Were you watching? Are you walking on a cloud today? And where does it rank? Your thoughts on a remarkable day at the Liberty Bowl. 535-3776. We'll start with Dennis in Whitehaven. Dennis, you're on.
Hey, good morning, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm good, man. I just want to say that it was a huge win for us, man. And my take is a little bit different. It almost proved that the article that you wrote, that you had enough guts to write it, like, why we're not in a big conference. And I agree with you 100%. You know, when people say race, it doesn't always mean black and white. Like you said, it's economics, it's crime. I mean, there's no way you could watch that game and not want that in your conference, man. The college game day, when they came here, I've never seen a college game day as packed as it was that day. So, I mean, it makes no sense. And it's going to be madness when the Tigers, the basketball season starts. So it's just crazy, man, that they wouldn't want that, you know, in your conference, man. It's just crazy, you know. So I just wanted to kind of give you credit and props on, you know, writing that because I believe that. You know, so I just think, man, if you look at 43,000 people in, you know, Liberty Bowl not in the best neighborhood, but you still have 43,000 people there. You know, they showed out and showed up, man. And I'm just proud to be a Tiger, and I'm also proud to be a Memphian, man.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it. 535-3776. Listen, in terms of that, I said this. Saturday is an example of why this – the division between the have and have-nots, the realignment frenzy, is shameful. Because whatever you think about Memphis football, and they're not, probably never going to win a national title, it's meaningful. When you can get 43,000 people out on a wet Saturday, turned out to be beautiful in the end for the actual game time, but it was raining all day, It is a meaningful football experience. And why there should be a division between what happens at Memphis and what happens in Starkville, or the checks that they get, or at Vanderbilt, or whether there's a difference between what happens at K-State and Boise State, or NC State, or the fact that there's now going to be a separation between Memphis and Houston and Cincinnati. It's, yeah, Alabama's Alabama. But the truth of the matter is this artificial separation into have and have nots, when you look at what it means in Memphis and how good it can be in Memphis, is shameful. It just is. We go to Iceman in North Mississippi. Iceman, how are you, sir?
Well, I've been better, Jeff. I've been better.
Well, I apologize. I must have been hard.
I watched the game, and I saw it the way you saw it. The Tiger High won.
Now,
clearly,
you don't
clearly got... tainted. That victory has the worst officiating. Y'all got some money backing to get the ball players y'all been getting. Y'all paying off the refs.
Those are SEC refs. What I would urge is that you listen to Iceman, and you enjoy every word of that. Just enjoy every word of that. He started with the Tiger High, and then he went with the tainted, and then he went with the paying off. And keep in mind, this is a man who follows Mississippi State, who's accusing you of paying off players. This is a man who goes to Mississippi State. So what I would urge you to, and by the way, it was an SEC crew. So every time you hear someone like Iceman, and I'm glad he called in, you just have to revel in that, and you have to hear in his voice how much it is absolutely killing him. And what motivated the SEC to tweet about this game above all the other games since last October? There's been a whole bunch of games. I haven't tweeted about any of them, but this one. And it's because it's killing him. 535-3776 is the phone number. We go to Matt P. on I-40. Matt.
Jeffrey, how about them Tigers?
How is the traffic? How is the traffic out there on I-40?
Oh, that's not bad. It's not typical bad. Memphis drivers. Okay. Yeah.
Good. You enjoy Saturday?
Oh, my gosh, Jeff. It was awesome. Are you kidding? I missed the game. I've got season tickets, but I missed the game because I had to take my kids to a birthday party. But we watched it at the party. It was fantastic. Couple state fans there. They were all down and out. Iceman, all the other state fans, they can go cry in their cowbells. We won fair and square. Yes, the refs may have given them a call or two, but they were SEC refs. We didn't pay them off. We won. Go Tigers.
Thank you, man.
Undefeated season.
Appreciate it. Thanks very much. Very few cowbells there. I'll be honest, I didn't hear a single one. Now, I was in the press box, but you can normally hear a cowbell, can't you?
I think my theory was correct. I'm telling you, when they go on the road, it's been ingrained. Like, you don't bring your bells on the road because you're afraid of losing it.
You're going to get them losing the bell. Yeah, you need them for the cows.
Exactly.
5353776, 5353776. Were you there? Did you watch? What do you think? Where does it rank? We go to Christopher in Olive Branch. Christopher, you're on.
Hi, Jeff. I would just like to say I think it was a great experience. It was a great weekend of football, not just, you know, college, but the pro game also. But I was not at the Liberty Bowl. I was watching on television from a hotel room.
From a hotel room?
Yes. But as far as, like, the Tiger High comment, as a graduate of U of M, I kind of, like, embrace it. You know, I love it. You know, people hate it, but – sometimes you just turn it around and make it your own thing. And as far as the conference thing, I think not going to the Big 12 is like a blessing in disguise because I just don't see them being the same without the brands of Oklahoma and Texas. So I think Memphis should just embrace being the, pariah of the NCAA, and that'll carry us far. Let's just have fun being Tiger fans and enjoy
being Tiger High and kicking ass. Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks very much. 5353776, your thoughts on what transpired Saturday at the Liberty Bowl. Where does it rank? Were you there? Did you watch? And by the way, what are your expectations now for the season? Like, is it time, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is it time to reconfigure your expectations and reset your expectations for what you imagine this team is capable of going forward? We go to Jason in Nutbush. Jason, you're on.
Woo, what's
guys?
We're okay. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. This is a wonderful day.
It is a wonderful day, yes.
I love me some SEC refs. They are the best in the country, aren't they?
Well, you know, there's it just means more.
Oh, yeah, exactly. SEC is supposed to be the best ever at everything, and we just saw what Tiger High can do to SEC. Tiger High should be in the middle of the SEC. You take off top three or four teams in SEC, and Tiger High is just as good as any other team in there. I am tickled to death, Iceman, and all y'all Mississippi State fans, y'all just got your ass beat.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Jason, that nice summary of what happened. The phone number is 535-3776, 535-3776. We go to Hank in North Memphis. Hank, you're on.
What's going on, Jeff?
I'm okay. How are you?
Man, I'm good. I can't explain. You know, the thing, as far as ranking this, next to the Paxton Lynch years, this is probably the greatest thing that's happened in probably like the last, you know, two seasons or so, man. I mean, I thought it was a very important game, especially to be able to beat a well-known SEC team like that. Am I wrong?
No, it was, and then the way it unfolded. It was Ryan Silverfield's, I mean, I don't know, he beat UCF last year, he won a bowl game, but like he's starting to stack up some pretty signature things. So I think it was important for Ryan Silverfield. The way it happened, the wild way that it happened, the fact that it came just after the Big 12 disappointment, it's one of my top five Tiger wins, I think, is that I have covered. I would put it that way.
Absolutely, especially over the last decade. Yeah.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man.
I'm thinking about that. Top five Tiger wins I've covered. Maybe not top five. I'm going to go Tennessee, Memphis. That's got to be in there.
I think it has to be number one.
It's got to be number one. I'm going to go the Ole Miss Paxton Lynch game, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going to include SMU. That's game day. I'm the win itself wasn't. I'm not going. I don't think I'm going to include that. I'm going to go. I don't know. The BYU one was wild. That was great.
The bowl game.
The bowl game. Yeah. It's just wild.
Well, I mean, we had the melee.
It's funny. The Cincinnati win in the championship game. I don't remember that game as
so the first game was like the Friday after Thanksgiving. And it was kind of because, you know, Memphis was the explosive offense, and it was like a game that kind of was like a struggle both ways. Right. And then, you know, Memphis did a good job making enough plays to win both of them. But I don't know. I'm like you. There's just something.
I guess this goes in the top. So maybe the SMU game goes in there. Like that was on national TV. Antonio Gibson goes crazy, right?
Well, I mean, it was like the, you know, you've got Herb Street and Fowler. How many times are they calling the game? Like,
so we'll put Herb Street. So I'm going Tennessee. I'm going the Paxton Lynch Ole Miss game. I'm going the SMU game. I think I'll throw this one in there. That's four. I mean, there were the other wins over Ole Miss. Some of this is recency bias because I think D'Angelo beat them twice, honestly. I think Ole Miss. So there were those wins over Ole Miss. Hadn't beaten Mississippi State in a long time.
I think this is right there with I also think when they beat Eli in 03. I think that would
what all right, so let's look ahead. What do you see now? I mean, this clearly does.
I mean, you have a huge trap game this week.
Oh my God.
UTSA like is good. Don't kid yourself. Like that's a good football team.
That is a very good football team. And we don't know how good Mississippi State is.
No, but I mean, what we do know is Dylan Gabriel broke his collarbone on Friday night.
Yes.
And now
that would seem to open the door. Cincinnati had an impressive win over Indiana after falling behind, came back.
Indeed. But you don't have to play Cincinnati.
No, not until you play Cincinnati in the championship game. Tulsa gave Ohio State all it could handle, but that they already lost to UC Davis. Like,
yeah.
Right? Tulsa already lost to UC Davis.
Tulsa's still just going to be a tough because it's on the road, and they're a team that can, like, control the football. But that Tulsa-Ohio State game, in my opinion, said more about Ohio State than it did. Said more about Ohio State than it did Tulsa.
SMU gets the Hail Mary win. They're good.
I think Are we calling Hail Marys 30-yard touchdowns?
Okay. Yeah, that was thrown like a Hail Mary. That was a – it was from the 33, I think, right?
Yeah.
But he threw it up like – that was not executed as a
– as a play.
Laser play. Correct. That was a Hail Mary. It was a tipped Hail Mary play.
Correct.
So – but they got a lot of weapons, and they got the transfer quarterback, and he looks like he's really good. And so I think there's actually – there's a bunch of dangerous games.
Oh, there's landmines.
There's a bunch of landmines, but there's no overwhelming team.
Correct.
Certainly with Dylan Gabriel
100%
having gotten injured, there's no overwhelming team. What do we think of the Tigers? So Hennigan obviously was not as good. He
looks like a freshman.
He missed a bunch of throws.
Yeah, it looks like a freshman going against a physical defense, and
it was a different level. Now he stepped up, made a big fourth down throw. On that 98-yard drive, made a big fourth down throw on that one. He hit Calvin Austin in the corner for the end zone. By the way, Calvin Austin to catch up with that one, I thought it might have been
Calvin
a little
has,
overthrown. That
Calvin
he's
has
got,
what you can't teach.
Yeah, man,
he's really freaking fast.
How good do you think he like?
I think he's playing on Sundays.
I think he's clearly playing on Sundays.
And
gadget player on Sundays?
Well, the
other
thing
is so freaking fast.
Well, and he's willing to play special teams. Did you see what Tony Pollard did yesterday?
Yes, I did.
I mean,
it is amazing how good these Memphis players are in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, if you can run, they find something for you to do in that league.
Yeah, he's gonna play on Sundays. So, and he really is now. Like, he has become like it's like Paxton and Anthony Miller.
Yeah.
It's he looks for, and Calvin Austin said to him, he said, I got you. After the game, he said, if you're ever in trouble, I got you.
Yeah, and if I'm Seth Hannigan, I'd keep looking for him.
And I would keep looking for him because he was immense. Brandon Thomas is good, though, man.
Yeah.
Like, he ran for 80-some yards, but those are hard yards against a really good.
Whatever he ran for, I felt like he maximized it.
He did not run for 100 yards. But I'm just as enthusiastic about Brandon Thomas coming out of that game as I am going into that game. I think he's a stud. And then the defense, God, they were at the
secondary's a problem.
At the start of the game, it was like, oh my God, are they ever gonna stop him?
Yeah.
But then they did stop him five straight times.
Yeah. I mean, again, everything that you needed to go right if you're Memphis to win that game. You need to get a defensive touchdown. You got to make something happen in special teams. And then you have to just do enough. In the end, they checked every box.
Well, it was a magical day. Dude, let's play the I've been ignoring the callers. I've got talking so much. We'll go to Craig in East Memphis. Craig in East Memphis. Craig, how are you on? How are you? Thanks.
I'm great. You know, we've talked a couple times before is all, but I've gone to Memphis games for years. This ranks up there pretty high. It was just, as much as the game was a really good game, the atmosphere leading to the stadium, in the stadium, I mean, it was just, it was great fun. And I'm always amazed that people say, oh, Memphis are not, you know, it's amazing what Memphis can do. Give us the money that the SEC gets and the five-star recruits they get. We fit right in. We belong.
I believe. Listen, it is an accident of history, and I'm not trying to like kick
right.
Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, or anyone else
no,
out of the SEC. It's an accident of history that they are in the SEC and Memphis is not.
Exactly.
But the truth of the matter is, if you had you do have a kick-ass program there, and if you were given the games and the schedule of a, like, let's say the Big 12 before it just collapsed with Texas and Oklahoma in it, I really do believe it's not a sleeping giant like Florida was when everyone used to say Florida's a sleeping giant, but it is, I really do believe that it is wildly underrated in terms of what they're capable of doing here. All you have to do is look at Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against them. I'd take the Big 12 today. I mean, I'm ready. But Houston had 22,000, I think, in their stadium for Grambling. Well, we had, you know, 34, whatever, for Nichols.
For Nichols.
I mean,
it matters so here. It doesn't matter in Houston. Yeah.
The passion in the community. I mean, one last thing, if I can say it. On the way to the stadium, I park on one of the side streets, like Marianne or Josephine, just east of the stadium, right off Central and walk through. And the bigger games, there's always the lady that's, you know, in the grovelly voice, parking, parking, you know, just a that part of it. You know, they had a, you know, cooler and then snacks. And then on the way out of the game, they had added, you know, huge speakers and had the music going. I mean, that's just a crazy, true Memphis atmosphere to have all that going on around the game. So, yeah, it was just a great day and great experience. And, you know, there's calls that are missed and made all every game. So,
well, thanks very much. I appreciate it, Craig.
Thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
And then you had, I mean, in addition to that, as he points out, I'm glad he brought up the atmosphere, because you had Isaac Bruce. I mean, you had the moment of silence for Dan Bartow.
Yep.
And then J.J. Russell, like, was just tremendous at linebacker in almost tribute to Dan Bartow. You had Isaac Bruce. Man, he rocks that jacket.
Oh, yeah. He looked amazing.
I don't think it's a particularly good-looking jacket. Like, you put that on on Joe DeLaMalure or on you know, whatever, and I don't think it is Joe DeLaMalure a Hall of Famer? I think he is. He's one of the offensive linemen of my youth. I bet he is. I bet he's a Hall of Famer. But you put it on an offensive lineman, Ron Yeary, I'm not sure it looks that good. You put it on Isaac Bruce, holy crap. Like, he was rocking that jacket. He comes out, says, let's send the dogs home at halftime, and sure enough, they do. And then, you know, to have Jaren Jackson Jr. there, to have Precious Achiuwa there, to have Antonio Gibson there, to have the entire men's basketball team from 2021 there, to have the towels. You had the Isaac Bruce towels. So it had a little bit of a flavor of a mashup of a Memphis football game and a Grizzlies playoff game. Plus then on top of it, at the very moment that Calvin Austin is running back that kick, you had Inspiration 4, which is the rocket launch that I covered last week. Literally at that moment, Inspiration 4 was safely landing in the Atlantic, carrying Haley Arsenault, of course, the Memphian, St. Jude, former St. Jude patient, now works at St. Jude as a physician assistant, landing safely in the ocean. And then Elon Musk saying that he was giving another $50 million to St. Jude, another on top of the money that they had already raised. Now, it wasn't another $50 million for Elon Musk. It was on top of the $100 million that Isaac Men had given, et cetera. And by the way, if you step back and look at that mission, Haley Arsenault was the star. Like, she was, there were four people on that rocket, but she was what it was all about. This was supposed to be civilians in space. Like, isn't this cool? A new era in space travel. As Charles Fishman, my buddy, said, he said the other three might as well have been astronauts, like, in terms of, like, their demeanor and whatever else. Haley Arsenault, I don't know if you saw the clip of her talking to the St. Jude patients, saw them talking to the St. Jude patients last week. Like, she is totally captivating. And so it was, all things considered, just an unbelievable weekend in Memphis sports.
DeLaMalure is a Hall of Famer.
Thank you. And by the way, we have the Memphis Grizzlies and the Memphis Tiger basketball team coming up. Like, this is a fun time. I will tell you, the NFL is back. FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why you're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week. All you got to do, bet the same game, parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. So you got the Packers-Lions tonight, right? Packers-Lions tonight. Don't you imagine this is going to be just a unleashing the Packers after the dismal win that they had, I mean, dismal loss that they had in week one? What's the line?
It's 11.5. To your point, everyone's 1-1. It feels like the Packers will.
Packers going to be 1-1. The Lions will not.
I don't like the odds.
But I mean, you could just go straight Packers. You could bet, you know, Packers to cover, Aaron Rodgers over passing yards, you know, over first quarter. Put your own parlay together, and if you do not win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. All you got to do is download FanDuel Sportsbook and use promo code Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, promo code Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. KINS. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund, $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile web. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. When we come back, we're going to do the, we don't have Chris Harrington today. We're going to do the fight song roundup when we return, and then we'll talk about the NFL after that. It's Jeff Calkins' show on a glorious Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. No Chris Harrington today. He will be back tomorrow. Let's do the fight song roundup. Well, the Memphis Tigers defeated the Mississippi State Bulldogs Saturday at the Liberty Bowl. It was, by the way, Jeffrey, the Liberty Bowl's birthday. Because the Liberty Bowl opened on September 18th with a win, with a loss to the Ole Miss Rebels. And as you know, Saturday was, in fact, September 18th. I think it was a, I think it opened at 65.
Yeah, I believe it's
65.
Yeah, 1965.
So September 18th, 1965. So it was its 56th birthday. The old barn. Still a dump. I hate to say it.
Great sight lines.
I've now down on a place. Still a dump. Giannotto had commented on it. I took a picture.
Uh-huh.
Did you see the picture I tweeted out of the windows?
Yeah.
It's just freaking disgraceful. And then I look beyond the windows. Like, if you look out to the seats, that's the whole damn thing needs a power wash.
Yes.
It's disgraceful.
We've talked about it. Like,
the city doesn't take care of it.
It beyond, like, forget, like, the modernization of it.
Yeah, just clean.
Yes.
Just clean. And there's this wire hanging down in front of the press box. It's just hanging there to nowhere, like out in the air.
It's going to Narnia.
Just this, like, take care of the place. It's garbage. Honestly, it is. It's crap. And the sightlines are beautiful. The swoopiness is beautiful. Tiger Lanes is wonderful. The football team deserves a clean stadium.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's not even like a. I don't even feel like that's that big of an ask.
It's 56 years old, the Liberty Bowl, and it was rocking Saturday. Honestly, the crowd, it was a perfectly nice crowd, and it was wild. The atmosphere was great, but it could have been, I think it would have been bigger but for the projected rain. There was no rain during the game at all.
No, it was almost like the rain knew the game schedule.
It's almost like the rain, because it was pouring in the morning. Like, pouring, and then it cleared up, and a lot of folks there. Now, you know how it's not like me to take credit for things.
Of course.
And it's certainly not like me to advertise my birthday. But, given the way it played out, Saturday was, in fact,
mm-hmm.
I hate to say this, because mm-hmm. my 60th birthday. My 60th birthday. The score was 31-29. What does that add up to, Jeffrey?
Jeff, what is 60?
Exactly. Thank God I wasn't 62. We would have been into overtime. So I am going to take credit for the win for Memphis, and onward we go. It is now official, by the way. Calvin Austin III named AAC Special Teams Player of the Week. Seems well-earned.
Yes.
They wouldn't have given it to him if that was an illegal play, would they? They don't give people special team honors for illegal plays, do they?
Fact only.
Fact only. Do we know who the other four was who was on the field and how the hell that happens? How the hell is there another four on the field?
I mean, usually what happens is somebody was out, and that's the replacement.
Up.
Yeah. And you're just trying to get a left on the field.
God forbid. Calvin Austin is so fast, it just looked like there were two number fours on the field.
Yeah, nailed it.
So anyway, big win for the Memphis Tigers. There were other college football games. Let's get to some of them. Certainly. You didn't have the best week, Jeffrey.
No, a lot of things went against me.
A lot of things went against you. We're still in the black for the week.
For the year.
For the year. Still in the black for the year. A lot of things went against him.
Yep.
But this one you nailed.
Yes.
People are all excited about Tulane because they hung with Oklahoma. That may say something about Oklahoma.
Uh-huh.
And Ole Miss, 61-21 over Tulane. Do they have a Heisman Trophy candidate there at quarterback, Jeffrey?
According to FanDuel, Jeff, they have the Heisman Trophy favorite.
Seven touchdowns, throws for three, runs for four. First time ever in the SEC. If you want to quibble, they missed an extra point.
They did, but it was a wet track.
It was a wet track.
The game was delayed a couple of hours. Corral's third in the nation in total yards per game, third in touchdown responsibility, seventh in passing yards. To me, the big story for the weekend was quarterback play around the nation leaves a lot to be desired, but Matt Corral might be the best.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And also, last year, Ole Miss turned the ball over a bunch, and they played crappy defense. Yards per play, they were 115th in the country last year in yards per play defensively.
Yeah.
Now they're up to 47.
They almost led the nation in total yards gained and total yards allowed last year.
Last year, they allowed opponents to convert on 47% of third downs.
Mm-hmm.
This year down to 31%, and Tulane was 1 of 11.
Yeah, the biggest difference between Ole Miss this year, and for the record, they did a really smart thing. It's not like they ran back the same defense. They went and got a bunch of new guys on there.
Right.
It's like it's a new defense. And right now, if they are a top 50 defense, I think they have the best offense in the country. I think they're very much the agents of chaos this year.
Well, and that does bring up, we don't have one of the interesting with the Fight Song Roundup, we play the teams who had tremendous performances and we blow up the team that had awful performances. There were a lot of teams that had close wins that may have said that they're vulnerable, right?
For sure.
Alabama had such a win over Florida, suddenly looked a little vulnerable. Clemson had such a win over Georgia Tech. There's no one to blow up in these games, and there's no one to certainly celebrate. Oklahoma allowed Nebraska to hang around. Ohio State struggled with Tulsa. Like all your mighty teams.
Yes.
Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma. They all had, are they really that good? Wins, right?
Florida, if you do the post-game win expectancy, Florida had a 91%. So that, if that game were played 100.
You mean based on the stats? Correct.
Based on how the game played out and whatnot.
258 yards rushing, 258-91 yards rushing.
Jeff, they were averaging
six for an
yards
extra point.
6 yards a carry. If they don't do the stupid Wake Forest slow mesh,
right?
If they just hand it and just, it was open. It would have been a tie game.
So Alabama looks vulnerable, and that plays into the Ole Miss question, whether Ole Miss can.
Can they go in and outscore them? Sure. Are they going to be probably 10-point underdogs?
Yes, of
probably.
Yes. Meanwhile, while we're on the theme, as we said, Clemson. two games against FBS opponents, scored two offensive touchdowns.
I mean, Jeff, they got offensive line problems.
And 284 yards against Georgia Tech. But this is your point about the quarterbacks. Like, Alabama's missing their quarterback. Clemson's missing their quarterback. And Oklahoma's, doesn't have a great quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this is a huge part of it. Now, I think Bryce Young has been better than the other two.
He's been good.
Bryce Young has, but we still saw he got rattled a little bit on Saturday, and I think the other.
Well, are his receivers 10 yards open like they used to be for Mac
Jones?
Well,
that's your huge element there where, you know, Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. I mean,
that's the thing.
You know, all those guys are not there. But I think the bigger issue that we saw on Saturday was Florida won both trenches. And I mean, how many times do we ever say that against Alabama? They get beaten the trenches on both sides. Like, we don't ever really see that. Like, Alabama.
Would you be unhappy to see that again in the SEC title game? You'd probably see Georgia. You want to see Georgia.
I'd rather see Georgia.
You want to see Georgia.
But now I'm having questions. Like, with Georgia, I still think Georgia's very, very good. I think they're awesome. But now what we saw what Georgia Tech did to Georgia. How much are we rating what we've seen from Georgia as what they did against Clemson's offensive line, which we just saw Georgia Tech do?
Yeah, it's a matter of figuring this stuff out. We don't know that much this early because we don't know who everybody is. And
correct.
So we don't know what to – yeah. All right, let's move on to the next one. Nationally was Penn State Auburn. Awesome scene. 109,958 masked patrons. Ha! It's a joke.
It was outside.
109,958 in a whiteout. And Sean Clifford looked good, man. Sean Clifford.
Best game of his career.
Good. 28 of 32, 280 yards, two touchdowns. He wasn't this erratic Sean Clifford we have come to know and love. 12 out of 12 in the second half. And every time he was in trouble, he just threw to a tight end.
Tight end, and then, you know, Doxson's really good. I mean, to me, the story of this game was the red zone. Penn State gets into the red zone four times, leaves with four touchdowns.
And then the first drive of the second half when Auburn comes out, fumbles.
Yeah.
And like that, at that point, I think that made it 21-10.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they couldn't get out of that hole. Oh, it was a perfectly respectable performance by Auburn.
Oh, I think in the end what we saw was two
Nick's
teams that
wasn't
were
great.
He wasn't great, but he also wasn't like horrific. He did make enough plays that kept him in it. But I think what we saw was two teams that were pretty even, but one team played cleanly and the other team made a bunch of mistakes.
That seems right. All right, next. Cincinnati anymore. They're leaving. They appear to have built an even better program than Memphis football at this moment. And I can't even, like, revel in their wins on behalf of the AAC because they're leaving. Right?
Yeah, I think there's an element of that.
But they fall behind 14-0 to Indiana. Come back, get the 14-0, win.
14-0, they didn't have a first down. Like, it was, you're sitting there going, this line stunk the whole week, or like 3.5. Like, if it were 7, I would have felt a little better, but it's on the road. It's like, oh, what does Vegas know? And then right in that first, you know, when they're up 14-0, you're like, God, Vegas always knows.
Well, here's the thing. I think they have a bye week, and then they have Notre Dame.
They do.
So how do you feel about them against Notre Dame?
I feel pretty good because I don't think Notre Dame's that good. I think at least Cincinnati knows what they are. Cincinnati knows that Desmond Ridder is limited, but they do a pretty good job of putting him in favorable spots. And then their defense is legitimate. Play really hard physically.
Do they look like, compare this Cincinnati team, and I'm thinking it from the Memphis perspective.
All right.
Right? I'm now going to think Memphis is going to win this conference. They're trying to win the conference.
All right.
Is Cincinnati better than those UCF teams? The good ones that beat Memphis and won the title. I'm talking about the national champion at UCF
Which national championship? The first or the second? So it's different. This Cincinnati team is, to me, very much what they were last year, in that the reason why Memphis struggled with those UCF teams is they were built very similarly, in that they
were not as good. And then,
right. It's just they were offensive minded and they tried to overwhelm you with scoring, but UCF had more. I think Memphis could get into a situation where they could go put up some points against them.
They need Seth Hennigan to keep getting better.
Correct.
You know, and that's the thing. They aren't going to see him until
December.
Until if they see him, right?
Right.
Until they see him in the championship. By then, he'll have a few more games under his belt. I don't think they look like a Death Star.
I don't think they look like a Death Star, but I think that's kind of the story of right now is, does anyone look like a Death Star? Like, I think that it's very obvious to me that when you watch Cincinnati play, they look like one of the 10 best teams week in and week out. But do they look like an overwhelming opponent for a school like Memphis? I do not think the answer is yes.
All right. Who's next? Have we played this before?
We had it in the system.
We must have then. SMU defeats Louisiana Tech on what Jeffrey is declining to call a Hail Mary, but it was clearly a Hail Mary.
A high lob.
And
tip drop.
And it appeared, I mean, you were talking about how great college football was.
This game was bananas.
And it appeared that SMU was dead. They go for it. They're down 34-33. They got the ball 4th-and-3 on their own 40, okay, in the final, you know, minutes here. And so they go for it, right? They got it. They're not going to be able to punt it and get it back.
Correct.
So they go for it, and they don't get it. And you're thinking, oh, they're dead, right? They're dead.
Oh, we even, our producer, because we didn't have this game on, our producer on Saturday says Louisiana Tech pulls it off. Like, because moment.
Louisiana Tech, they hold Louisiana Tech to a field goal, and that then sets up the opportunity. Tanner Mordecai, transfer from Oklahoma, I believe.
Baker's former backup.
Baker's former backup.
And no, sorry, Austin Kendall was Baker's backup. He was Hurts' backup.
It goes a nifty 36 of 48, 395 yards, and throws the tip drill, Hail Mary, and Rashee Rice bats it to Reggie Roberson. Touchdown. SMU wins one for the AAC. And I can go ahead and glory
in that one. You can celebrate them because they're not leaving.
Celebrate that one. Do they look dangerous to you?
They look like every SMU team to me, and that's been a team that's given Memphis problems.
Anyway, nice of the Ponies to pull that one off. There were other worthy folks who were worthy of celebration who we did not get to, including Fresno, I think, for their win over UCLA.
That not only that,
too. Another great college football game.
Jake Haner, who's Fresno State's quarterback.
Transfer.
He was unbelievable all night. There was no answer for him. He was accurate. He ends up playing what it looked like at the end, like broken ribs, and he's still just firing touchdown passes.
55 yards.
It was awesome.
And again, like, why do we need a separation between UCLA and Fresno? Like, why does UCLA get to be, quote unquote, a power team and Fresno doesn't get? They don't think they care about their football at Fresno? Like,
no.
In other words,
Fresno might be back.
I don't like Memphis being pitted against the Mississippi States of the world.
Sure.
But I also don't think Memphis, like, it's not great that Memphis has to now be elbowing out, you know, whoever to get into the next round.
Sure.
You know, like, it's crazy the way that the damn thing is set up. It's Game of Thrones, for God's sakes. Who are we blowing up? Oh, God. Mike Norvell having a bit of a tough run. 0-3 start for Florida State. That's the first time since 76.
Yeah, it was Bowden's
first year. And, my God. And then the question is this really going to happen? Are they really going to whack him?
I mean, I think the answer is it depends on how bad it gets. Like, if they go 2-10, I think that's a different question. But as long as they can keep it somewhat above water, I think they're just financially so committed to him that they kind of have to.
And at some point, you can't keep changing every, you know, 2 years.
I mean, I agree with you, but at the same time.
But you also can't. If you got the wrong guy, you got the wrong guy.
Correct.
You don't stick with Tubby. You don't stick with Larry Porter.
Exactly.
You don't stick with Tick Price. You don't stick with, you know, they didn't stick with Josh ultimately.
Sure.
You know, like in the end, you, if it's not working, you got to move on. But and then you got the state of Florida. How about that? Now, Florida acquitted itself well in losing to Alabama, but you got Florida State getting whacked by Wake. And then you got Miami getting whacked by Michigan State. By the way, state of Michigan, much better. Both Michigan and Michigan State undefeated. State of Florida, not so great as all three lose. Michigan State could be good, by the way.
That was just the trust my eyes game. I'd been watching Michigan State, and then I'd been seeing what I've been seeing with Miami. And to me, Walker, the tailback for Michigan State, he can play for me.
Kenneth Walker, 172 yards.
He can play for me. He's awesome out of the backfield. He runs. He has great vision. He's a stud.
If you've got computer needs, Cooper System is there for you. 360-9679, 360-9679, located in the Mount Moriah Office Park. Listen, it's fun to have a fast new computer. And it's fun when you can have a fast new computer, pay a little bit less. Than you would at a big box store. You can do that at Cooper Systems, 360-9679. And if you have a computer that needs repairs, that's frustrating. You're like, what do I do now? And you say, oh, I know, I remember. Gary and Jeff have been talking about this. 360-9679. You call Cooper Systems. Their technicians are right there, whether it's a power supply issue, whether you got viruses, whether it is you're just trying to salvage some data. I was in that situation once, and I went in a panic. And they said, hey, yeah, we can probably get this stuff for you, and they did, and they put it on they fixed the computer up, they reinstalled it, and away we went. Again, it's Cooper Systems, located in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679. We've been talking about college football this whole time. There was a lot of NFL yesterday, too. Tennessee Titans get a big win. My beloved Buffalo Bills
looked like the Buffalo Bills
bounced back. Well, Josh Allen didn't look like Josh Allen.
They ran the ball pretty well, and
you got quarterbacks lying all over the field,
yeah.
Basically dead
yesterday,
quarterbacks
yeah.
Everywhere. So we'll talk about the NFL when we return. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. On a good day.
We are coming to you from the Triumph Bank studio. Some changes are afoot at Triumph Bank. You see that, Jeffrey? Some changes are afoot at Triumph Bank, but I've been assured, same people who've been taking care of me at Triumph Bank, same personal level of service, same folks who helped Dan Barron when he was refinancing his house. It's all going to be the same. I was a little concerned because it was like a gem. I didn't realize that in the banking world, the banking could be like this. But it is. Seriously, give them a call at Triumph Bank. They're really super, super nice and helpful and a different level of service than I've ever experienced in a bank. Triumph Bank is invested in the community and making banking easy for you. Let's get to the one story you've been waiting for. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. Can you play it anyway? Play the call.
Of course, Jeff.
Play the call.
Here's the snap. They are kicking it.
Whoa, Scott.
This one is a beauty. High.
Let it go.
We'll catch down near the 3-yard line, and it was deflected there by State. No. What a good job. And it's picked up by the Tiger.
Oh, my goodness.
It is
Calvin.
Picked up by a Tiger and returned.
Calvin.
40. It's Calvin. 50. Down the right side.
Calvin.
40. 30.
Calvin.
20. 10. Touchdown. They didn't down it.
How good is it to hear the roar of a crowd again?
The roar sounds great. All right, Jeffrey, what's coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. The professor, John Clayton, will join them at 1:25. Jason Munns joins us on Giannotto and Jeffrey at 2:30. Jeff with GP at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow for Our Work is Done.
Mm-hmm.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.